Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Jeremy White, Jody Biasi. What's happening in the break? I'm letting Joe know that Matt Schaub once won an NFL passing title.
Matt Schaub led the league in passing?
Yes, that happened.
That is incredible.
In a year that you were on this earth, that happened.
Wow. He was still in the league as of like last year, maybe.
Yeah.
Matt Schaub. He had 4,770 passing yards in 2009.
Andre Johnson helps.
Holy cow.
Jeremy White, Jody Biasi. On the Western Hotline is Paul Hamilton. Paul, a thought for Matt Schaub. What do you think?
I got to admit, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had won a passing.
Yep.
I was alive for that too, believe it or
that's
not.
Right. We all were, yeah.
And yeah, I didn't know that.
All right. Paul, when it comes to last night's Sabres game, I think it's a, you wipe the brow and you say, whew, you got out with 2 points. I mean, it's not great to give Detroit one if you're trying to chase down that team. But whatever. It's a good feeling after what was a pretty nasty collapse.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know what to say about this game. You can start with, for the first 46 minutes, they're fine. They're up 4-1. They're playing well. You know, they've got a shorthanded goal. They've got a power play goal. They're everything's going real well. And it takes 5 minutes and 40 seconds to go from 4-1 to 4-4. You know, Anderson made some great saves in that game, but. All right, he wants the Perron goal back. That one went through him, but that's only 4-2. But they keep coming. I mean, Dahlin wound up breaking his stick, so he can't cover Sundqvist on the first goal. On the second one, Mittelstadt loses the draw. Anderson gets screened, and it's in the net. And in 5 minutes and 40 seconds, you go from 4-1 to 4-4. But you're not done yet. Now you're on your heels. Now you let them come at you, and now you take 3 consecutive penalties. So now I'm thinking, well, that's it. I mean, especially when you just wound up letting the Tampa Bay Lightning back into a game that you only got 1 point in because you allowed 3 power play goals out of 4 power plays. So here we go. Now you take penalties at 14:35, 17:10, and 17:44, and set the Red Wings up with a minute 27, 5-on-3, and you kill it. You somehow recover from all that, and you kill the penalties. By the way, you went 7-for-7 in penalty killing in that game with a goal. I mean, you scored a shorthanded goal along the way, and you get out of the period tied. And that now you have the puck almost the whole overtime, pretty much four of the 5 minutes, you control the puck, and you win it in a shootout.
Crazy game.
I mean,
I tweeted Paul right when that 5-on-3 was starting. More amazing if the Sabres win this game or lose this game, because they would have been down 3. Amazing if they lose it, but. Who thought they were winning that game after Detroit had scored 3 and then they were about to go on a 5-on-3 penalty
and with
kill?
And with the troubles the penalty kill has had.
If
it, to have been perfect to that point, you think, like, you know, at some point this dam's going to break.
Yeah, and, you know, Anderson, again, he made the one mistake, but, you know, he was great on the 5-on-3. You know, he had to make the saves that he made. And, you know, Detroit, as I look back, had 13 shots on the power play. And they go 0 for the power play. And Buffalo actually did have 6 shorthanded shots and scored 1 shorthanded goal. You know, so it's just crazy. As I said, how do you evaluate the game? Do you sit there and kill them because they blew a 4-1 lead in 5 minutes and 40 seconds? Or do you give them credit for the first 46 minutes of the game where they basically had taken over the game and led it 4-1? And then after they got tied, they figured it out, killing off a 5-on-3. And don't forget, in the shootout, Detroit hit 2 posts.
Right.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, there's a number of players to talk about. I want to start with Dylan Cousins because he I don't know if he's taking large steps forward or just getting a little bit better with in terms of the goal scoring results. But Cousins and Granato has been really high and complimentary of Cousins a lot, and you have as well, pretty much since he showed up. Like as a mature player, as a future captain kind of candidate, to my eye, looks like Cousins is taking steps. Like we're seeing big steps from him.
Absolutely, and I think he's not doing all that much different except the puck's going in the net for him. I think that's maybe what the difference is. What, 3 goals now in the last 2 games? But his shorthanded goal is just a perfect example. You know, first of all, Craig Anderson knew he had the time where he could rip it off the wall. Now, he's not trying to pass the puck up to Cousins. He's trying to get the puck out of the zone on the shorthanded opportunity. He does so, and it winds up getting to Cousins. So, and then Cousins cuts behind the defense, and he gets in a foot race with Raymond, and it's just pure hustle. That's all it is. It's just pure hustle where he can pull away, winds up scoring through the 5-hole, and it's just a really nice short-handed goal through a lot of effort, and that's what you get out of Dylan Cousins. It's just a lot of effort. I mean, and the second goal, I mean, that line gets in on the forecheck, and they hem him in a little bit. And it was just the little nuance of that goal where Cousins understood where Peterka was. Peterka didn't have the pass right away. All Dylan Cousins does is back off just a bit. You can just see him looking at Peterka and gives him a lane to pass the puck by backing off. And the lane wasn't there until he backs off a little bit. Now Peterka's got the lane, puts the perfect pass over to him. And again, he gets a nice shot from distance and winds up scoring the goal. But it's just little nuances like that have helped him. He's a smart player, and I think he has also helped Peterka and Quinn along as being the old veteran of the line. He's the old man at 21, and but he seems to thrive on that.
Yeah, that line has been very good since it's been put together. They create a lot of chances. They're fast. We were talking about some of their line combinations last hour, and Paul, it feels like they've got a lot of the lineup figured out, but 5-on-5, that middle stat line, I mean, that's the one right now, right, where they struggle a lot, they give up a lot of chances, because otherwise, you know, like the Cousins line, there's a lot to like, and the Thompson line obviously is incredible, might be one of the best lines in hockey. And then even the Jost line with Gergensen and Okposo, like, have their moments. I don't know, is the middle stat line for you the same? Like, just got to get better results?
Yeah, and in this game, too, this is the second game in a row where that all 3 of those players play less than 10 minutes. Well, first game it was Asplund, second game it's Sinistrosa, but none of them get 10 minutes. And they were -2 with Asplund the last game playing less than 10 minutes. And we're on, for whatever reason, at like the 14-minute mark of the third period, and Tampa Bay scored. It's like, by that time, that line had basically been benched. Why did you throw them back out there? And, you know, Stamkos scores. Well, here they are again out there, and Mittelstadt loses the draw. The goaltender gets screened, and it's in your net. And now it's 4-4. That was the tying goal, you know. And Mittelstadt won 2 faceoffs and lost 8. They don't really have a great face-off guy, but still, you know, he was 2-8, so it's not like you're saying, okay, we got to get him out there to win a draw. So, they're just struggling mightily, and I don't understand. I think they have a lot more problems on that line than Rasmus Asplund, but he was the one that wound up coming out of the lineup after the game against Tampa Bay. But they are struggling mightily, and it doesn't appear to be getting better.
Would you see a situation where Peyton Krebs is getting back into the lineup, maybe for somebody on that line? And what, just in general, what do you think is happening with Krebs? Because at some point it's, okay, if he's going to be sitting out, why don't you just send him to Rochester?
Exactly. For the most part, I think Don Granato's a very good coach. And one of the things I admire about Don Granato is he's willing to try things. But this Krebs on the left wing thing has demolished this kid's confidence, absolutely demolished it. And you heard me talking about this last year. It wasn't working. He is not even close to an NHL left winger. He's just not. And I understand the thought process is, well, he's more valuable if he knows how to play wing and center. Well, he can't play wing. He's not very good at it, and it's totally shot his confidence. And even Granato said a couple of weeks ago, you know what? He is a better center than he is a wing. We're going to keep him at center. I think that lasted a game, and then he was back on wing again. And now he's to a point where you can't even put him in the lineup because he's just – and what I would do is, yes, I would send him to Rochester for just a couple of weeks and let him play a bunch of games at center, get his confidence back, and never put him on wing again. Never. He's just not an NHL winger, and he's not even close to one. And I just think it's destroyed his confidence right now. He'll figure it out. He's young enough. I don't think it's destroyed him as a player overall, but it's to a point now where they can't even put him in the lineup right now, and they figure, you know, and that's what they did with Cousins. Cousins was a point, too, where I thought to myself, you know what, maybe it's time to send him to Rochester for a little bit. Well, they were right about Cousins. It was pretty much right after I asked that question, Cousins started to get better. They were working with him, and he got better, and they feel the same way with Krebs, that, you know, he can work with the coaching staff and get better. But, you know, this one's backfired on Don Granato, in my opinion, I think big time. This putting him in wing and just the insistence upon putting him on wing, he is not an NHL winger. He's not even close. And he's got to play center or put him in Rochester.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, when I asked Granato Tuesday about the goaltending situation, I kind of expected him to do this. He would not go after the goalies at all. Sometimes this team is in a spot where it looks like they really need a save. They don't get above average goaltending from really anyone. And again, Anderson did make some nice saves last night. I'm not actually making this about last night's game. My question is, Granato has been often, when we talk to him about, defense is easy. We'll figure that part out. We want to make sure these guys feel good enough to score. And they are a top five scoring team, and they give up a lot. So should we be surprised that they give up a lot based on the style? Is there any sort of adjustment that needs to be made? Or do they need to find the kind of goalie that can play the style that they play?
They go in shifts where, you know, they don't give up a lot of shots, and then all of a sudden it's like 45 shots they gave up last game against the Red Wings. And, they're sure. I mean, Anderson, they don't win that game without Anderson, some of the saves he made. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, is when you need a save, he was there except for the Perron goal. He wasn't perfect. But other than that, he made a glove save that was absolutely coming across. It looked like that puck was in the net, and he came across and made a phenomenal glove save. And that's the kind of save I'm talking about, the big save at the big time. Not an easy save. Not a save that's a save that maybe he shouldn't make. That's what you need out of good goaltending, that at the right – get a save at the right time to help your team, to get them going. And in the 5-on-3, that was a perfect example. For a minute and 27, he held the fort, made some good saves. They were able to clear the puck a couple of times. And, you know, he made the save that helped his team get through that so they could win a hockey game. And that's what they need to see more of in their goaltending that, they haven't seen. I mean, Luukkonen has played three games. One was phenomenal. You got that from Luukkonen in that one game where he was absolutely fantastic. But the other two were below average games. And one was the Tampa Bay game. The Tampa Bay had a goaltender that was trying to hand you the game in Brian Elliott. When you play a goaltender as poorly as Elliott played, you got to win that game 10 out of 10 times. And they scored enough goals to win that game. But they couldn't get a save to save their lives in that game. And they wind up losing it because they can't get a save.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Tonight, Colorado, big test there. Of course, the Bills play at the same time.
Now, am I going to be able, because what I do is I mute all the Bills reporters so I don't see them on Twitter. Am I going to be able to start my DVR when I get home from the Sabre game and not know what's going on in the Bills
game? That is a tough one. Aren't they going to show a highlight? They're going to show a highlight in the arena. They're going to give updates in the arena.
Yeah. Right? I think in the arena, Paul, you're like,
they'll show highlights in between periods, and I'm busy.
Okay.
So that'll be fine. If they do that and just show it in between periods, that's not going to tip me off.
Okay. All right.
So the game will be on in the press box, but it's far enough away from me where I don't have to look on that wall where the game is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other thing is,
if you think I can pull this off.
I don't think you have any chance.
I think you're an underdog. I think I think there are so many people up there, Paul, that like you kind of got to get the message out, right? Like, you don't tell me the score, because just someone walking by like, oh, can you believe? Can you believe? And then just whatever the fill in the blank is there.
Yeah, and somebody sitting in the stands right underneath you is going to high five and shout to his friend or her friend, hey, Allen touchdown, blah, blah, blah.
It's a tough one.
I'm also interested. Are we even going to see 5,000 people there?
It's a great question.
I mean, even people with tickets.
It's a tough ask.
You know, aren't going to, they're probably not going to be able to get rid of their tickets. And I'm not blaming fans if there are only 5,000 people there. I get it. I totally understand. Your team is playing a division. By the way, here we are December 1st, and the Bills will have played three division games all on the road. They still will not have had a home division game on December 1st. That is crazy.
Madness. Paul, are they going to win?
The Bills?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think they have a good chance to win that game. So I have no idea if they're going to win, but I think the only thing I don't like is Belichick has had a whole week to prepare. It would have been nicer if he would have gotten short week Sunday to Thursday to try to figure out what to do with the Bills. So Allen will see some new wrinkles, but Allen can handle that. I mean, he's not a rookie by any means, stretch of the imagination or anything like that. So, I think they should be fine.
All right. Paul Hamilton, thanks, Paul.
Okay, take care.
Paul's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. I've got a couple of good tweets on this game on Bills Patriots. I wrote this morning on Twitter, got a bunch of response to this, and we'll continue talking about it. I don't think the game is a must win for the division, for the conference, for the playoffs, even to say like they can or can't win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
But I do think it's a must win if we're going to talk about them like they should be a favorite. Favorite to win the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, by the way, are now the favorite.
Yeah.
They've taken over.
Yeah.
If we're going to keep talking about the Bills like they are on that level, they have to win tonight. You can't go 0-3 in the division. You can't lose to Mac Jones in the same season you lose to Kirk Cousins and Zach Wilson. And I say that because self-inflicted wounds and beating yourself, okay, I can get by that 2 or 3 times. I don't think New England wins this game and looks just better than the Bills. It would be because of their own mistakes. And eventually, Joe, your own sloppiness on offense. We're now into December, and if you're still sloppy and still not right offensively and find a way to lose against New England, I think you've got problems big enough to kind of knock you down off of the idea, at least me, I'll be knocked down pretty far off the idea that they're on the level to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Of course, they still will be able to. They got to, you know, you find your rhythm, you can do it, but
especially when, like, everything New England does defensively seems to mesh well with what the Bills do well, right? Like, Diggs is just a man beater. Like, you cannot cover him with man coverage. Like, he is, maybe for his entire career, been one of the best receivers in football at getting open against man coverage. And the Patriots run a lot of that. So the matchup has always presented well. The only difference here is you might have, you know, a difference in how much they're able to get after the quarterback, because no Deion Dawkins, Matthew Judon's having a great year, although he was there last year too. So it feels like they gotta get right in this game, because everything matchup wise, except for the offensive line part, says you should be able to score as many points as you can fit into one game against this team. And that's exactly what's happened in a couple of games in a row. So McKenzie's had his big games against the Patriots, right? Like, his style fits for it. And Allen runs the ball well against Belichick defenses. And I'm not really worried about Belichick and, like, time to prepare and, like, he'll figure out a game plan. He's had how many days to develop game plans against this Bills defense and just has not found an answer in 3 years other than make the wind be 50 miles per hour. It's got to get right tonight. It's got to get right tonight. 30 plus points.
Yeah.
Got to see it.
The Bears put up 33.
Right.
I said that earlier. Here's it. I like this sentiment. And this kind of takes it a little further and will be a talking point if they lose, which I think they'll win. Tweet as we connect with our fans. This is from Third Down Guy. Then go Third Down Guy. The Super Bowl talk goes out the window with a loss tonight. To expect the Bills to get to the Super Bowl as a 5 seed and win 3 road playoff games when they haven't won one yet under McDermott, I don't know. I think that's they have not won a road playoff game. Does that mean they can't? No.
No.
They pretty much had the game won in Kansas City. They also had the game won in Houston. Lost both those games.
Right.
So I don't have any doubt if they were to open the playoffs and go to Tennessee, they could win that game. Or even Miami or Baltimore, right? But the point is not a bad point at all. You've never won a single road playoff game, and you'd have to win 3 to get where your season is supposed to go.
That, for me, a lot is like the one-score game thing, though. Like, that just can be so easily overcome, and you can go from, oh, they can't win one-score games, to, oh, they win 3 in a row.
Yeah.
And you can go from, oh, they can't win a road playoff game, to, they win 3 in a row. Like, they could do that.
Sure.
They could easily do that, especially if they went, Titans, and then, like, Dolphins, and then, I mean, Chiefs would probably be the third one. That's the one. This is where you know things are a little bit problematic. We're not asking ourselves, what would they look like against the Chiefs right now? Like, we're worried about other things. And they beat the Chiefs, so that's a part of it. But everything was comparing yourselves to the Chiefs. And now it's just, what's wrong? The Dolphins. The division. Seeding.
Well,
road playoff games.
To the point about the Chiefs. And again, like you said, they beat the Chiefs. If they win tonight, they're 9-3, and we're cruising. We're going to expect to beat the Jets, set up the Mammoth. But if they lose tonight, all of a sudden, it might be going a little far, but all of a sudden the any given Sunday talk might be applied to Bills Chiefs. Right? Like, the Chiefs lost that game. Anybody can beat anybody on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, the Chiefs lost to the Colts. They lost to the Bills. They made some mistakes. Mahomes threw a red zone interception. When Allen throws a red zone interception, what do we say? Like, oh, if he hadn't done that, they'd have been fine. Mahomes threw a red zone interception in that game on the first possession they had.
Yep.
They made their mistakes. They beat the Lions. Lions missed a field goal. I don't know. Just win. Get these feelings away from me. I don't want these feelings.
If they win 20-10 tonight, you're gonna have this. You're still gonna have these feelings tomorrow.
I'm gonna be fine. I pledge, any win is okay. The next 3 games, any win is okay, because we mentioned on Tuesday, the number of teams in the NFL that win 3 straight games over teams that are over 500, 3 consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
It's a tough league to win. We know that. The Bills are 8-3. I pledge to you, have no complaints as long as they win.
Right. You're right. If they're 11-3,
yes.
But the offense still doesn't look right, it might sound stupid to say something's wrong.
Well, I still might say something's wrong. If they win tonight 6-3, we start the show tomorrow morning. You're like, huh, how you feeling over there? I'm like, it's fine. If win's a win. 6-3 is great.
A trembling.
Yeah. It's a one-score game win. Yeah, it's what you all wanted. All right, Jeremy White, Jody Biasi, you can join us on the phones, 803-0550. Light them up. What do you think about this game? Anybody feeling good, bad, on edge, anything. It's a barometer game because, gloriously, they generally dominate New England. And tonight, I hope they do. More of your calls, texts, tweets, all of it on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.